Hi, this is Chris.
And Sarah.
We're just getting ready for a time of boredom,
excitement,
and consternation.
Welcome to the unofficial
Adventures in Odyssey podcast.
Woo! Yay!
Hey everyone, you're listening to the May 26th, 2007 edition of the unofficial Adventures in Odyssey podcast.
Woohoo! We're finally back!
We are. So, what's up with you?
I am getting ready to move to Michigan for the summer.
Right, you're leaving soon, aren't you?
Tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
Today. Or whatever. Saturday.
Saturday.
I don't know what day it is, I'm sorry.
Well, what's up here in Ottawa is a lot of heat right now. We've had really high temperatures. I think record-breaking temperatures, in fact. Yesterday was 33 degrees Celsius, which translates to about 90 degrees Fahrenheit. So it's been pretty hot,
yuck,
to say the least. Okay, moving on.
Okay. Well, let's start from the beginning. Let's start from part one.
Sure, let's do that.
If I can remember that far back.
Yeah, 3 weeks back. Let's see if we can do this.
There were things on the windows, and Wooten went a little Wooten-y and pulled Bernard along with him.
Yeah, that was when we first found out that there are these Power Boy symbols on windows across Odyssey. And we were wondering what in the world caused them in the first place, and what do they mean?
I don't really know what to say about, like, all three of them. It kind of was, where was this coming from?
I thought there was a lack of coherency throughout all three episodes, to be honest. It was all very confusing and lacking in many areas. But part of the reason, I think, for my disappointment was due to the basic premise of the storyline. From the very first episode, we understood it was a mystery involving a comic book symbol. So it kind of sets you up for a fun and free-flowing kind of episode. I would have been cool with it if the story had evolved into a more lighthearted and comic three-parter, which it seemed to do through part two. And the fact that it seemed a bit childish at times with Wooten's antics didn't really bother me at the least. But when you throw in the whole issue of the contemporary slave labor thing, I just found it didn't match with the comedy. And because of that, I was left perplexed.
Yep. It has got to be the weirdest group or single episodes ever.
I agree. It was just very confounding.
Well, the one thing that I had going for it was that it was really funny. I was watching the news on Tuesday night. I think it was like ABC National News or something. They had a whole thing on the black market slave trade within the United States. Like people, illegal immigrants being brought in and forced to work with their passports being taken away. Like, everything that was happening in the episode, I was like, now, wait a minute here. Talk about getting, like, as it's happening, Odyssey episodes.
With the times.
Yeah, that, thank you. With the with the times, Odyssey episodes.
I don't know, maybe Paul McCusker was trying to make a political statement there. An outcry against modern slave labor.
I don't know.
But I must admit, there were some funny moments in the first two episodes. I think the third one was a bit lacking, but, well, no, there's some good lines in the third one as well, but one thing that I wrote down regarding the first episode was the references to technology, in part one in particular.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if you remember this, but in part one, Wooten receives a text message from, yes, Connie, of all people. She's getting rather proficient with technology, isn't she? You know, with the computer first, and now the cell phone.
Well, she never had a problem with the cell phone. It was just the computer.
I know, but text messaging, though. I'm pretty sure that's the first time text messaging has been mentioned in an episode.
I'm not so sure about
that. I'm pretty sure. I know instant messaging has been mentioned, but not text messaging. So that was a little interesting. Going back to part one, it was rather odd how the whole episode almost went in a full circle by nearly wrapping it up before part two even started. Near the end of part one, Bernard says, "It sounds like we have a happy ending to this mystery." Then Wooten replies with, "Hold on, there's more to this mystery." basically, the writers were essentially telling us that there's more to the mystery. And that in itself, when they have to explain to us that the mystery is not over, it shows me that there was something lacking. Maybe incentive for us to listen? I mean, good mysteries or thrillers, such as The Top Floor, they shouldn't have to explicitly point out that there is more to the story. Good mysteries will have some sort of, cliffhanger to captivate the audience. If it's constructed well, then the listener will automatically want to listen to the next episode. And part one of The Other Side of the Glass just didn't grab me. So, I mean, while it was intended to be a mystery, for me, it just seemed forced.
Yeah, I don't know. I thought the whole tree, the bush thing was funny. Them being dressed up as bushes.
Yes.
That made me laugh.
The one line I enjoyed the most, though, was Wooten's line. Wait, pretend you're a garden gnome. Priceless.
And the fact that Bernard was correct, or no, I guess it was Wooten, right? He's like, I'm not a tree, I'm a rhododendron! And then didn't somebody say they didn't know what a rhododendron is? Ha! I think that rhododendron is our state flower. I could be wrong,
I
though,
don't
but
remember. Maybe you should look
Washington
that one
State.
up. What about part two?
I don't even remember part two. I don't. I. Yeah,
Part two
last.
was when they started their investigation of Seawright.
Okay. When I listened to part two, it was a very, very stressful time in my life, to say the least. So I don't really remember everything that anything. It's very. Yeah. Packing plus finals plus Jerry Falwell, who was our chancellor at school, dying plus having to go home plus only getting to go home for a week. And I think, was I? No, I wasn't sick that week. No, I wasn't.
You were recovering still, I
I
believe.
was recovering
Yeah.
still. So, yeah. A lot of stuff on my mind, and none of it was Odyssey related.
I think one of the main indicators of how good this three-parter was compared to previous shows is whether or not you'll listen to it again. And, well, why don't I ask you right now? Sarah, would you listen to it all again?
Probably because I want to know what the heck is going
What
on, because
happened?
the last 3 weeks of my life have been so stressful and so like whack that I don't really remember very much of these episodes, and I wasn't really paying much attention while I listened.
Okay, well, bad person to ask it to then.
Chris, would you?
I wouldn't say that I wouldn't listen to it again, ever, but I think I would take a break from it. I wouldn't listen to it like, oh yeah, this was such a great episode. I want to listen to this one again, like The Top Floor. I think I listened to The Top Floor at least 2 or 3 times, but I don't know.
This
Maybe
one,
just to clarify a few things and what happened in the show, like you mentioned. Yeah, that might be a good idea.
in its style reminded me a lot of I Slap Floor, like the goofiness and like the
A little wonky.
crazy, yeah, the
Bit
wonkiness of
wonky.
it. And because and I really like I Slap Floor. I know a lot of people hate that episode. I
I
really
love that
like that
episode.
episode. I do too. And it's something that I listen to over and over again. So this may end up becoming one of those episodes just because if I want something really silly.
Yeah.
But not like immature silly. It's definitely immature silly.
Right.
Then I'll probably listen to this one again.
I think deep down before the episode had aired, deep down I was hoping that it would be a bit more of an intense three-parter. And not necessarily like intense action thriller kind of intense, but more kind of intense in terms of the relationships, possibly. Because we were speculating before it was released that, the other side of the glass could pertain to the pane of glass separating someone in jail from the visiting person, right? So we were thinking, okay, maybe this marks the return of Monica Stone, or, and I was hoping Richard Maxwell, but that was pretty much 1% chance of happening.
What's the
Although
obsession
Nathan
with
Carlson was
Stone?
around, so he could have, recorded something with them.
What is the obsession with Monica Stone? I don't understand.
I think fans want to see Jason come back in the first place because we haven't really heard much from him at all in recent years. Obviously, you have The Top Floor, in which he appeared in all 3 episodes, but other than that, he really hasn't shown up much. And I'm sure a handful wouldn't mind seeing him involved in a romantic relationship again, especially after the whole Tasha ordeal, and that didn't really work out well. And I'm pretty sure it left a bad taste in people's mouths after you had this whole build-up toward their marriage, and then it just falls through. Because it worked out with Eugene and Katrina, but not with Jason and Tasha. So.
I didn't want it to work out with Tasha. I liked the Josh and his mom in Best Laid Plans. The other thing I was going to say was that in part three, like, I think about four times when the scene would switch and Bernard would start talking, I thought he was Jason for a minute, and I was like, what? Jason's not in this. And then he would go back to sounding Bernard-like.
Was it Bernard, or was it the agent?
It was Bernard.
Okay. Because I know what you're talking about. There were a couple times in part three where I thought, wait a second, when did Jason come into this episode?
Yeah. Maybe it was... No, because it was only when Bernard and Wooten were together, and it definitely sounded like Jason.
I distinctly remember a scene in which the last scene when they were first... They were approaching the Seawright building, and the agent pops up, and somebody says, hey, guys, or you know, they introduce themselves, and that sounded like Jason.
I'll have to go listen to it again. And the other thing is, the secretary who was destroying all the documents, I thought she sounded a little bit like Tasha for a minute. And then, like, she lost it, but for a second she did. I'm probably losing it.
Maybe.
I'm sure that I am.
Maybe you are.
But it definitely sounded like her for a second, and I was like, what? I'm really going insane here.
I definitely did not hear Tasha in this secretary's voice, but certainly I did hear Jason at some point in the episode.
Yay. Well, at least I'm not fully mad, or fully insane, just only partially.
Well, there always is the possibility, at least with the Jason line, that they use someone to dub. Because I know for Mitch, Rodney, I'm thinking of a couple scenes, a couple episodes in which one or two lines were recorded by someone else because the line was added later and the actor wasn't there. So that's always a possibility, but who knows. Do you know what I'm talking about, though?
Yeah, I do. I didn't know they did that, but that makes sense. But why would they use Townsend Coleman for Dave Madden?
Okay, well, that's where I have to differ with you, because I don't think he was saying Dave Madden's line.
Okay,
but
maybe I'm just...
You're wrong. I don't think I'm wrong, because I don't think they'd use...
Okay, Jason. Well, I need to go listen to it again, so I'm going to refrain from any more comments.
Excellent.
On that. All right, what are your overall thoughts, like, on part three and, like, I guess the rest of the the storyline and stuff like that?
Well, let's go back first to part two. We didn't really talk a lot about that. But part two, there was a big, huge emphasis on Bernard and Wooten's relationship. And that was the first time we'd really seen them together for an extended period of time. And what made their interaction even more amusing was when a tow truck driver referred to Bernard as Wooten's father. That was funny. That was funny.
Yes.
And in many ways, this trip of theirs reminded me of Wish You Were Here, to some extent, in which, you know, Bernard and Eugene went on their road trip. Clearly, the relationship is different. The character personalities are all different. But still, the relationship, that kind of father-son interaction was kind of, whoa.
It's more similar. Of Eugene is kind of out of the picture now, so Wooten is going to be Bernard's foil.
Yeah. I think that's another factor, too, that made the three-parter a little bit more crazy, was the fact that Wooten received so much exposure. He's never been in three consecutive episodes before.
Really?
I don't think so. He's been in ones back-to-back, and even then, he rarely played such a prominent role. Oh, I wrote this quote down. Did you catch the line when Bernard said, "You have to leave well enough alone"? Did you catch that? Probably didn't. That was part two. You weren't really paying attention. It was during the investigation.
Yeah, rub it in my face.
It was during their investigation with the customer representative of Seawright, and Wooten was getting all suspicious on them, and Bernard's like, you know, you just really gotta leave well enough alone. And I thought, what a nice gesture to the old episodes. Although, wasn't that Leave Well Enough Alone mentioned, like, somewhere in the middle? Like, during the 1990s?
No.
Or late 1990s?
It was Case of the Secret Room.
Well, I know that, but I'm saying, was it not referred to later? I'm pretty sure it was.
I don't know.
Who says Leave Well Enough Alone?
It's the police guy in the Secret Room.
I know
room.
That. That's where it originally came from, but there was another quote. They use the exact same line. Okay, maybe if one of the Odyssey writers or staff members are listening, you can write us and let us know what episode it was. Or maybe even the fans, if you guys know. Because I'm pretty sure the Leave Well Enough Alone line was used after the Case of the Secret Room and before The Other Side of the Glass. So, yeah, pop us an email.
Chris, we just gave away that people from Odyssey listen to us.
Well, I mean...
Well, I just did.
No, but I'm just saying, though, that, you know, if anyone out there is listening, I'm not saying they do. I'm just saying, yeah. If you're listening...
I was messing with you.
If Dave Griffin's dad is listening to us...
Yeah.
What else? Oh, yeah. One final piece of trivia. In part two, the diner owner was played by Phil Proctor, and he is also known for voicing Leonard Meltzer.
Oh.
So, small little tie-in there. Very minor, but noteworthy.
That's cool. All right, well, are you ready to rate this thing here?
I'm afraid to. I'm afraid of what our average ratings will total up to.
Uh-oh.
They might be in the minus.
Wait, did we talk about part negative. 3 yet?
What were your thoughts about part 3 or overall impressions? Whatever we haven't touched yet.
Since I really have very little recollection of the first two, like specific things I know generally would happen, this was a very weird episode for me. I followed it and everything. I don't really know what to say. I really don't.
Okay. I was listening to this episode in 35 degree weather, so my head probably wasn't where it normally is at either. So I honestly don't remember a ton of what happened either. However, I do remember that the ending, as I mentioned off the top of the show, was very incoherent, kind of all over the place, didn't make sense. It was a little disappointing.
Yeah.
This
was the finale, wasn't it?
It was the finale.
What a weird finale.
Hold on. Let me say this, though. This was not supposed to be the finale. In fact, there was another episode, I think, that is going to be the premiere of the fall 2007 season that was pushed from this season to the next season. And instead, they only aired, if you count all the episodes that have aired this past spring, there's only been 11, including the most recent one, part 3. So in the album, the next album that they'll be releasing, they will be including a BTV episode.
Yeah. Wasn't it redeeming this season?
Yeah, I think so, yeah. BTV redeeming the season. So
okay.
If you're saying this is the finale, yes, it was the finale, but it wasn't intended to be the finale. And I think that could be a good thing, because if the finale is being pushed to the first episode of the next season, I think that would be a really good episode. So, although you kind of have to wonder why they pushed it.
Indeed.
I believe Joanne Allen is going to be in it.
Oh, that's really cool.
Not that that means anything in particular.
I like Joanne.
We haven't heard from her in a while.
Oh, I was looking her up on the Internet Movie Database the other day, and I think that she is in her 90s.
Whoa.
Wait, let me look that up again. Hang on, because I don't want to be wrong on that. She is, like... It surprised me.
Yeah,
like,
you don't want to overquote someone on their age.
Yeah, definitely not.
I think Nathan Hubler is 50.
Don't offend him.
I'm kidding.
Okay, if this is the right Janet Waldo, she was born February 4th, 1918.
Whoa.
Yeah. She's almost 90.
Wow, that's impressive. That's impressive. Yep. Well, anyways, we kind of went off there. Off topic.
Yeah.
But what were your rating for this three-parter?
I can't give one.
You can't.
Sure, because you can. I have I need to listen to it a few more times before I can say anything.
Well, you can give it a rating of TBD.
Okay.
And I shall give it. I don't know, because part two was really good. Actually, it was leading up. It kind of brought my hopes up. After
what have I told you about doing that, Chris?
After a somewhat disappointing part one. No, I'm talking about, when I mean getting my hopes up, I mean it seemed like it was leading towards something big. After a somewhat disappointing part one, this part two was very good. And then part three was kind of, okay, I don't understand what's happening, but it sort of wraps up the show, but it doesn't really make sense. I'm going to have to give this like a 3.5. 3.5 stars.
Okay. Well, I will try and listen more, and hopefully I can give it an actual rating at some point so that we cannot mess up our scale.
Fantastic. Let's see. Do we have any letters? Any letters? Letters at all?
I don't think so.
Let's check our mailbag. I don't think we have anything.
hint,
what's
hint,
up, guys?
People.
Yeah, hint, hint. Well, let's see. What can you guys write us about? Well, we mentioned in the middle somewhere that if you know which episode in which the "Leave Well Enough Alone" quote was mentioned,
other than Case of a Secret Room, and this one.
Right. If you guys can mention that, or if you have any thoughts on that, send us an email. Or if you have any questions about us personally, I guess we'll take your questions. We'll start taking your questions now.
Yep.
And hopefully we'll get someone to interview us in a future podcast. As for the summer, I think we won't necessarily be doing our regular weekly shows anymore. I think we're going to go to maybe a bi-weekly format, maybe once every 2 weeks. We'll see how it goes. And then we'll also hopefully have some fun stuff for you guys, maybe some more insider information.
Uh-huh. All right. Well, Chris, have a great week.
You too.
Okay. Bye, everybody.
Bye, guys. Bye.